Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and today my guest is Paul Lawrence. And Paul is a repeat guest on the show. You might recognize him from, I believe it's sometime last year, where we discussed his time as the Undersecretary for Benefits at the VA. And today we're going to chat about his new book called Veterans Benefits for You, Get What You Deserve. And the whole premise behind that book, I mean, I think that I don't typically like to judge a book by its title, but I mean, I think it says it all right there by the cover, right? It says it all right there. So welcome back to the show, Paul. I'm really glad to have you here.
Hey, Scott. Great to be with you again. And thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, you bet. It was funny because I was at the gym a few weeks ago and I was watching television at the gym and this commercial pops up and there's this name that sounded familiar, but it's a fairly common name. And so I was like, okay, well, it just could be a coincidence that I happen to know this somebody by this name. And then I see a picture of the person associated with this name and it was you. And I said, well, he's promoting a new book and it has to do with veterans. I got to get him back on the show. By happenstance, I happened to catch that commercial, at the gym. But I usually ask guests to introduce themselves, but since you already did that on the last episode we recorded, I won't have you rehash it all right now. But what I would love to do is to talk about your book. And again, for the listeners, it's titled Veterans Benefits for You, Get What You Deserve. So tell us a little bit about it and what people can expect from it.
Sure. Well, as you pointed out, I was Undersecretary for Benefits in the last team at the VA, and it's been almost 3 years there. And one of the things that was my job was to administer the benefits veterans have earned by virtue of their honorable or close to honorable service, right? So I had to learn all about these programs, how they worked, what they were, how they operated. So I really ended up knowing a lot about this. And I'd hold town halls during the pandemic. I'd explain, take questions and the like. One of the things I always heard was from veterans is like, gee, I didn't know about these benefits. What are they? Please explain them to me. And then how do I access them? Well, it's just a repeated sort of thing of give me information, education, and explain the processes to me. So I thought, well, gee, when I got out, the administration changed, got out, I thought there must be books out there that explain all these things. And what I observed was, I found out there were some books about benefits, but they weren't about all the benefits. So you could have a book about the GI Bill or a book about the home loan guarantee, but you had to search lots of books to find them. And then, God bless them, we all love lawyers, but they were often written by lawyers. They were just really dense and hard to understand. So I took my calling was, I'm going to write a book, which we now have, right? Veterans Benefits for You. I'm going to write a book. It'll have all the benefits, and I'll really make it easy to read. And I'll draw on some of the things I learned from, administering the benefits about not so much tricks, but how to be more straightforward in your approach for things. And try to have veterans understand how to access them. So it was really a desire to address the need, as I saw it, of getting veterans information in a way that would really help them.
A tree branch hit a power line in Ohio in 2003, and it shut down 21 power plants, and around 100 people died. We have a power grid that was designed in the 1800s. Even the White House sees it. They're saying 2/3 of the grid are at least 25 years old. So they've recently announced billions of dollars to update it. And how long do you think it'll take to actually do? That's why having your own solar power is more important than ever. With the Patriot Power Generator, you'll get a solar generator that doesn't install into your house because it's portable. You can take it with you, even use it inside. But it's powerful enough for your phones, medical devices, or even your fridge. And right now you can go to 4patriots.com and use code DRIVEON to get 10% off your first purchase of anything in the store, including the Patriot Power Generator. You'll also get their famous guarantee for an entire year after your order, plus free shipping on orders over $97, and a portion of every sale is donated to charities who support our veterans and their families. So just go to 4patriots.com and use code DRIVEON to get 10% off. Again, that's 4patriots.com. Use code DRIVEON to get yours today. You know, when I was in the military, getting out, processing out and everything like that, the information that was given to me, telling me what benefits were available to me, whether it was GI Bill or, disability and other things that were just out there that was available. When I was getting that information, it felt like I was drinking from a fire hose. It was just right. So much information all at once. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not in a place where I'm not going to school right now. I don't need the GI Bill benefits right now. I don't need that information right now because I'm not intending on going to school right now. Maybe I will next year or the year after or something like that, but not right now. And so it just kind of went over my head. It was more than I needed at the time. And as time went on, I sort of forgot a lot of the stuff that was told to me. And so what I wished I had was like a one-stop shop solution where all the benefits that were available, I can go open it up and just flip through to say, hey, I'm buying a house, or I'm planning on going back to school or whatever. I can open up that resource and just say, okay, that's what I'm looking for. This is how I can go about getting the benefits that I have available to me, or even to just discover benefits that maybe I forgot all about, And so that's why when I saw your book and I after I saw that commercial that I was talking about earlier, I went online, I took a look at what the book was about, and I was like, that's what I wish I had when I got out of the military the first couple of years afterwards, I really wish I had some sort of resource like that, because all the paperwork that they give me, it's, one person has a stapled together piece of paper, with some information and phone numbers that probably are outdated by the time I needed to use them and all that stuff. It's sure. Like I needed something that was, current, up to date, told me the information that I needed in a simple way. And that's exactly what I discovered that's what the book is all about, right?
Right. Well, that's a really good observation. It is a fire hose thing. People forget. And I'll tell you what I'm also getting, Scott, is military spouses saying, hey, I got this for my husband or wife so that I can learn how to help him or her, right? So it actually is really interesting in the sense that it's not just the veteran individually, but it's their family members. And of course, part of what I point out in the book is there are benefits for family members under certain circumstances. So veterans really need to appreciate that. Yeah. So when they apply for benefits like disability compensation, they don't just go, hey, I'm fine, I don't need this, not realizing, well, yeah, but if something does happen to you, don't forget about your family. So there's just a lot of interest. And that's what I was really trying to crack the code of. Here it is, all in one place. One of the compliments I do enjoy is when people say, this is easy to read, because that was really my intention. Because if I had to learn it, I had to cut through all the shenanigans and learn, like, okay, in words, what is this exactly?
Sure.
So I can explain it, because nobody understands the definitions that are written sometimes when they're so long and so complicated.
And, anyone can copy and paste stuff from, the VA's website, because they have information there on how to access benefits, but it was written probably by lawyers. And it, that's the average person is not a lawyer, and having to read through all of that stuff and try to understand what it is that you need to do, what hoops you have to jump through, who you have to contact, all these things, it's not easy. And so when you have something just written in plain English that, everyone can understand, you don't need a law degree to figure this stuff out. And I want to kind of bring that back to your time when you were working with the VA. I was looking through your LinkedIn profile before this episode, and I noticed there's a lot of business experience that you had prior to your time at the VA. And when you were working at the VA, did you look at your role the way you might look at a similar role in business, where the veterans who are applying for the benefits, they're the customer in your eyes, I would imagine, based on your background and your experience? Was that kind of how you saw that relationship?
100%. The thinking about a business, really can help government, not everywhere, but certainly at the Veterans Benefits Administration, you're essentially in this business of getting customers the benefits that they've earned, right? They want them fast. They want them accurate. They want to know what they need to do to get them. So that was really the whole conversation about, you know, how do we get veterans their benefits fast? What's it going to take? Right. And it was easy to rally people because so many of the people of the Veterans Benefits Administration are veterans themselves. It was not unheard of to talk to, you know, to be a veteran, to have gone through some of the processes that they were now administering. But it was very much, and, you know, you ask veterans all the time. Again, when I would talk to them in person before the pandemic and afterwards, they would tell you right to their face, this is what I want. Why is it so hard? Why is it so complicated? So you're like, okay, well, here's a headline. Let's give them what they want. Let's make these things faster and come up with reasons. As I said, you said get to yes versus get to no and explain why you can't do things. So it was very much that. And I think you probably saw one of the things I was most proud of is, like, you know, the backlog was at record lows when I was there, as well as the timeliness was really fast and efficient. So I'm really proud of, you know, what could be done.
Well, and I think I had mentioned this even before in the last episode that we recorded, but I'll mention it again for anyone who maybe didn't catch that episode. But I had applied for some benefits before your time at the VA, and it took somewhere between 6 and 9 months for any, it was like crickets. I heard nothing in that whole time period. I almost forgot all about the benefits that I applied for during that time. And then eventually I got a decision, later on. Whereas during your time there, it was probably about 3 weeks that it went down to. And so when you're processing things so much faster, you just don't allow the backlog to develop, right? And right. You're able to chip away at the stuff that is there, but also you just don't allow it to develop. And I'm hoping that it doesn't go back in the other direction. But I know, especially with the PACT Act and stuff, there's a lot more claims that are being filed. It may start to go in the wrong direction, but hopefully they can keep up the pace with what you put in place.
Well, a couple things, right? Well, a lot of people don't realize that often the first time a veteran interacts with the VA is through applying for benefits. Mm-hmm. So if they have a good experience, hopefully it leads to trusting the VA more broadly and doing what. Or unfortunately, if they have a bad experience, it often really jades them on dealing with, why deal with that? My first experience was so terrible. Ironically, a lot of things actually have taken a step back. The PACT Act has really overwhelmed them. Mm-hmm. And the backlog is shooting up in sort of record, in route to, I think, one day it would pass the record backlog back in 2013 and 14. So we really should continue to be worried about it. But again, it's good to hear about your experience while you're there and know that some of these things really did have an effect.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it just goes to show that, you know, there are people there at the VA. The VA is not all bad. You may have a bad experience with certain individuals, maybe. Who maybe don't have your best interests in mind, but in general, the people at the VA are good people, and they are trying to get through all of this as quickly as possible. But again, like for me, drinking from a fire hose with all the information that was coming to me, they're working at a fire hose where there's so many applications that are coming in. There's only so much that they can do with the resources that they have available to them. So,
I wouldn't let them off the hook like that. I mean, people are well paid to do this. But one of the things why the book is so important is I really do try to explain what is all the information you have to supply, because a completed claim, right? Let's talk about disability compensation. When you have all the information there, it's relatively straightforward for people, the adjudicators, to decide. Mm-hmm. Right. So part of that is, you know, it's a little bit of everybody doing the right thing. But if a veteran comes forward or service member is getting ready to leave with a completed claim, those can go through the system pretty fast. So that's often the explanation for why it takes a long time versus why it is done really fast. And so that's something I wanted to explain. I also wanted to explain that, you know, those forms are complicated. If you've never done them before, it's your first time through them. Don't forget, you can get help, a no cost help from a veteran service officer from a VSO like American Legion or Wounded Warrior Project. So there are places that can help you. You know, it's like everything in life. They've done it a whole lot. You've done it the first time. Let them help you and you'll discover some of the value of that. So it really should be a much more straightforward and less onerous process, again, to get things veterans have earned.
Sure. Absolutely. Now, I know just applying for benefits in general, like you just mentioned, could be a difficult thing for people, especially if it's their first time going through the process. What are some of the other challenges that veterans face when they're applying for benefits that you've seen?
Sure. Well, often you need records, right? And so if you've not kept those records, that becomes a headache, right? Mm-hmm. So VA will go look for records. It's called duty to assist. They will go help you do that. But if you have them, it's so much better. So in the book, I explain how to get your records by contacting the National Archives. Again, that's where all the records are, the Indiana Jones Warehouse of Records. They'll get them for you. I understand that process is really improved. So that's something. It's paying attention to the forms. The forms are difficult, but you got to get all the information. And really, if you think about disability compensation, you really have to demonstrate that what happened to you in the service, you know, really caused this problems, right? So it's not just enough to say, well, it's in my medical record. You really have to go out of your way to say, see, on this day, that's where I hurt my knee, for example, right? Sure. See, that's so they can kind of do that. So, and often if you have a lot of things in your medical record, it can be hard. So again, it's just trying to like nail the information. A lot of the other benefits requires, you know, forms and bits of information. So it's essentially assembling everything and getting it ready to go.
Is there a place that people can go to where they can find out eligibility criteria, or is it in the book that you've written as far as?
So it's all in the book. I try to explain that out, try to explain that in straightforward language again, because a lot of it on the web is if this, then this, and if this, and then this, and it's all clear, but it's complicated. Sure. It reminds me, I joke, I live in the Northern Virginia area. I've often thought the street maps were really, the street signs were really for people who live here. You know what I'm saying? Because they just know where everything is, but if it, you'd be lost. And that's how I feel and say, yeah, you can go to va.gov and it's all there. But if you don't know where to look, many people get frustrated.
That's right.
Again, it's hard. So I try to make the book to explain all that so people understand what they're eligible for, to include even numbers you can call to talk to a person to explain things to you if that's what you need.
Yeah, I think that's important too, because you know, you can go through the whole process of applying for things, and if it turns out you're not even eligible, it's like you wasted your time, you wasted the other people's time. Like,
yeah.
Finding out right off the bat, is this something I'm even eligible for? Did I serve during the right time periods? Did I, serve long enough for certain benefits, or, do I even have the right documentation or record keeping or things like that? And I'm sure there's some things, like I know there's some presumptive conditions that, when you're talking about disabilities, where if you don't have the records,
right.
it may not be an issue because the VA just assumes, that based on your service and where you served or, whatever the conditions are, that you are eligible for that. So, but there's a lot of that. So I'm glad that that's in the book as well.
Right.
And as far as like a time limit for benefits, so if someone got out 20 years ago, let's say, and they never applied for benefits, is it too late for them to apply or is it dependent on certain other conditions?
No, it's not too late. So I'll talk about disability compensation. That's easy. A couple of them you can time out on, but those are some of the smaller benefits. But in terms of the one you're kind of asking is generally one I get all the time. Hey, I served 20 years ago. Now something's bothering me. I'm sure it's related to service. Is it too late to go back? And the answer is no, it's never too late. You can come back multiple times. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you don't think you got it right. And we'll talk about how to appeal if you feel the decision is unfair or in error. So I'll give you an example, right? I'm with my brother who was in the chemical corps in the Army, right? Mortars, tanks, loud noises, right? My daughter's wedding afterwards at the reception of the next day, I go to talk to him and he says, you're going to have to talk in my other ear. This one I'm kind of deaf in. And I said, you realize that could be service connected, right? And his wife came over and said, thank you for telling him that. I've been telling him this for years. And so he can go back and get assistance because in fact, loud noises had in fact done that. That's a classic example. The other thing folks can do is you can look on the internet, and I have this in my book as well, is what was your MOS? What was your job in the military? And you can see kind of like likely conditions. And this is what a veteran service officer can help you. Oh, if you were a pilot, chances are hearing or neck. If you were sat for a long period of time, here's some of the things you should be thinking about. And often when I tell that to people, they go, yeah, I looked at that list and come to find out, my ankle is bothering me. And come to find out, I'm not the only one because everybody in my specialty kind of experiences this. So it's never too late. And also the other thing we would talk about, Scott, is just because you got benefits and maybe this is your situation, unfortunately, conditions only worsen as we get older. So the sort of rule of thumb was come back every 3 to 5 years. And if you have to file a claim for increase, mm-hmm. you know, hey, the limitations on my elbow, you know, were, some limitations. Now, as I get older, they're more, you know, this is really affecting my quality of life. So again, right. there's no penalty for coming back and making sure it's done right.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just as a an example to kind of piggyback off what you were just saying, I served as an infantryman, and you know, so hearing issues was something that was just kind of assumed. Yeah, you're around loud gunfire and shooting all the time. Like, yeah, it's going to happen. You're going to probably have to deal with that. And so I applied for those benefits for hearing loss and tinnitus, and you know, was approved for that. And so, it was just something that I just never thought I would be eligible for. Because when I was getting out, one of the people who was processing me out and everything, they said, oh yeah, your hearing, they'll never cover you for disability for that, because you should have just worn, ear protection. Well, yes, I know I should have, but you know, things happen. And, and so I never even considered applying for it until I did a little bit of research on my own, and I found out, oh, I am eligible for that. Sure. And so so it was years afterwards, but, just to talk about the time limit and all that kind of stuff, it was years after. I've been out since 2011. Right. There really isn't that time limit, and you definitely could have access to those benefits. So,
Well, sure. And just cause there's lots of infantrymen, I'm sure, who listen to you, right? I mean, you walk long distances, so don't forget your knees and hips, right? And your ankles. Yep. You carried heavy things, your back and your neck, right? So
that's
maybe
right.
When you got out, you know, when you were young and spry, hey, I'm good. Well, you know, maybe not. So keep track of those things too, as well, you know, because
right.
it isn't just taking, you know, what, when someone said, hey, I just took naproxen and it didn't really bother me, but now it does. Well, you know, to understand, if it happened to you while you were in service, it could be something that, you know, an intelligent, and you can get benefits for.
Yeah. And like you said, rarely do conditions get any better as you get older.
Right.
My hearing is not getting any better as I get older either. So, and I know we always heard we should keep records of any physical mental health issues that we had while we were in the military, so that if we do apply for benefits somewhere down the line, we have the documentation that the issue was service connected. And I'd imagine that's the best way to get benefits approved. You already mentioned that earlier. But what if we don't have those records?
Sure.
Like we didn't go to sick call. We didn't get documented because we're like, oh, well, I'll just suck it up and deal with it. I don't need to go see the doctor or anything like that. Is there still hope for us to be able to connect the issue to our time in the service?
Sure. Let's talk about two things about not having records. So you identified the classic sort of one, which is, you know, I was injured or hurt, but I actually did not go report it. So it is not on my medical record. I got my medical record, but it's not there because I didn't go in. So I did something that I'm now suffering from.
Sure.
This is where a veteran service officer can really help, because they can talk to you about ways to do that. One of them is called a buddy statement, where you get a letter or a statement from somebody, a buddy, who observed what happened. Okay. So yeah, I was with Scott. He did in fact fall down and injure his knee. And I remember it bothered him for some period of time afterwards. So I'm not surprised he's complaining. So they can talk to you about that. Could be family member could talk about it. Yeah, I remember him coming home from whatever, and I saw it in the line. So there are ways to do that, that they are skilled at. You're not the only person who just kind of sucked it up and moved on. It's a very common thing. People understand that. The other thing is, of course, is, hey, I just did not keep track of this, right? I know a record exists, but I don't have it, right? And that's where you can find it at the National Archives. Or again, when you apply, VA has what's called, I think I said this earlier, a duty to assist, which is they will go look for the records, okay? It'll delay things, but they will send information out and say, hey, where is Scott's records? Like, we need to find those, okay? So don't be intimidated, hey, I don't have it. If you know something happened, you know, there are ways to do this. And again, if you think buddy statement is the way you're going to go, get a veteran service officer, because they have experience doing exactly what I just described.
Yeah, that's right. And that buddy statement could, like you said, it could be from somebody who served with you, who was there when whatever the incident was happened, or it could be a family member who is like, okay, well, I've noticed this change in the physical or mental or, you know, whatever the condition is, I've noticed these changes and it happened after X event, you know, whatever. Yeah. So that's a great thing too. But again, like you said, get a veteran service officer who can help you with that, because I'm sure there's certain language that they're looking for in these things, and you want to make sure that you have the right language in there to make sure that it is,
Let's build on this by talking about something that's often unpleasant, but people unfortunately experience, right? Which is military sexual trauma. Okay. So as you can imagine, this is not, I didn't get around to it. This is, I did not want to talk about it. Okay. Sure. So people say, this happened to me and now I'm suffering. Generally it's PTSD, PTS, I mean, trauma. Okay. So again, it's the same kind of thing. When you apply for benefits, they'll help you look for what are called markers that indicate something happened, because obviously you didn't have a statement, it wasn't very public in nature, whatever. But they can say, hey, you know, often when people have this, they do things like talk to their clergy, right? They experience drug and alcohol abuse. So things like that are called markers that can say, this is what happens when people experience trauma, and that can be used to validate that it did in fact happen. So again, this is where people like service officers could help folks say, you know, hey, this was not something I wanted to talk about, but now I really see how it's affecting me. Is it too late? And again, there are ways to help tease out what happened.
Yeah. And that's a method that I didn't even think about until just now, but it doesn't make a lot of sense. Where someone maybe didn't have a drinking problem before this incident. And then they're kind of coping or dealing with it. I'm not saying that that's the right way to do it, but they start having this problem after this date, and it's like, okay, well, that kind of syncs up with the timeline that we're talking about here, you know. Now, I know you mentioned earlier that sometimes people will take a look, like, you know, at your book and the information that's in there, and say, oh yeah, you know, I do have, you know, this back issue or my knees or ankles or, you know, I have all these issues, never really thought about them being connected to my service. Are there some more common benefits that veterans are eligible for that you might want to mention that might just kind of ring a bell in people's heads and be like, oh yeah, well maybe that I do remember that time that I fell and, you know, hurt, you know, whatever part of my body. And, you know, maybe that might help jog their memory and get them to actually apply for the benefits that they
deserve. Sure. Well, yeah, we talked about disability compensation, but just kind of think about it for a minute, okay? So let's kind of talk about it, right? You've been hurt or injured in service, okay? It's not in combat, it's in service. From so the moment you were on the clock, I'm now in service. If anything happened to you, this could include, obviously I got hurt doing, you know, my MOS, but you're on the post basketball team and you hurt your knee. That's something happened to you in service, okay? Mm-hmm. So think about the definition of in service. There's also what are called something called secondary conditions, right? Hey, I hurt my ankle. That's now covered. But years later, now my knee hurts because my ankle was hurt. So don't forget this linkage. And I explained this in the book of the injury to resulting conditions that can happen. Okay. So there's a sense of, hey, there are other things like that. That's one thing people don't think about. The other thing is, of course, is some of the big benefits. And I go through all of these. So I'll pick on a couple that people tend to ask about, right? The GI Bill education benefit is one that everybody sort of know about, okay? And often people go, yeah, I want to go to college. I got it. This is why I enlisted or joined. Now I can get 4 years of college for my, you know, honorable service. Great, that's great. But a lot of people go, yeah, I don't want to go to college, or I've been to college already. This benefit has continued to change over time. And so there's some really neat things that folks might want to think about, which is one of them is certificates or credentials. These are a short period of intense training where you test or demonstrate that you learn the subject that can really help you. So for example, in this day and age, if you had a certificate in cybersecurity with all the attention to things like this, this can really help you in the job market or help you get a promotion relative to your peers, right, who might not have this. So don't forget these certificates and all these interesting things. The other thing people tend to forget is these can be used for what we want jobs in what we once would have called the trades, truck drivers, electricians, medical technicians. I mean, all these things we've learned in the pandemic that our economy really does depend on. Okay. You can use this for training there. And in many ways, this is like a great route to a $100,000 a year job. Okay. Right. So these are not trivial jobs. So I'd ask people to remember, okay, college isn't for you. There's other things. Another one is the home loan guarantee, the ability to purchase a home with no money down as a veteran. Homes will be, for most of us, biggest asset in our portfolio when it goes up, you know, home equity and the like. So it's really great, live in a good community. And one of the real features of the home loan guarantee is you don't have to have the down payment, which our civilian counterparts have to save for years to do. You don't pay private mortgage insurance, which our civilian counterparts do. And you can often get a haircut on the interest rates, which I know are high now, but you can get a little bit less and one day they'll be come down and that'll be good. So many people get that. But what we don't realize is some veterans are using the equity in the home they purchased to start a business, right? I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I didn't have the money. The home loan could help like that. And finally, of course, don't forget, final sort of thing is something happens to you because of your service, you have disability compensation. You know, again, your family can get benefits. So try to think about survivor benefits. And I talk about a whole bunch of those in the book. So I really do try to make sure veterans understand, don't just think about yourself, consider your family.
Yeah, and it's kind of like the same theory as life insurance, where you don't buy life insurance for yourself, but you buy it for your family. You know, you want to make sure that they're taken care of, you know, after you're gone. And like you said, there are benefits out there for family members as well. But yeah, you got to take a look at that book and make sure you have all of that information at the tip of your fingers there.
Speaking of insurance, there's also a chapter about the VA supported life insurance. So there's lots of commercial offerings of that. But sometimes if you're service connected, you cannot get insurance in the private market, and VA does in fact have insurance programs I describe in there. So again, that's a good example.
That's interesting. I didn't know that there would be some insurance that would that you wouldn't be able to get if you were service connected. That is the case though, right?
Yeah. So that's why they have a mortgage, you know, something happens to you, pay your mortgage, a life insurance product, whatever. They're relatively small. So often people offset it, but sometimes they find it's easier. Some are free if you're service connected. There's no cost. Others are reduced payments and the like. So it's a very attractive product.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an option as folks need to think about.
That's interesting. And I don't want to give away the whole book here in this episode, but do you have any other advice for veterans who are trying to get the VA benefits that they deserve?
Well, yeah. So a couple of things. Definitely the service officer kind of thing. And it's really important. I mean, I listed the ones from the Veterans Service Organizations, but many folks forget your state Department of Veterans Affairs or Veterans Services has service officers. Again, people who are trained on the VA processes who will assist you at no cost. Why knowing about the state service officers is so important is they will also know about the benefits your state provides veterans. So every state would like veterans to live in their state. So they have certain benefits they provide to veterans in addition to the VA benefits you and I have been talking about. So I urge all veterans to think about, what about your benefits from your state? Okay. One of the most really valuable ones is if you are service connected at a certain level, most will exempt you from certain taxes. Here in Virginia, it's your property tax, which is a big tax, okay? So veterans need to know about your state benefits. It could include benefits from your spouse. They often complement, or there are benefits that the VA just does not provide. So I'd ask, think about service officer, and even check out a service officer from your state, because then you get kind of both of those things working together.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot all about the state level benefits, because that is not directly through the VA, but there are benefits out there that are available to veterans, and they may not even know about it. They maybe have been paying their property taxes, like you were saying, in Virginia, maybe paying those property taxes for all those years, and they maybe didn't have to, or maybe it's a reduced rate, or you know, whatever right. the case is. Each state's going to be different, but get a person who is familiar with the benefits that are available in your area, who can help walk you through that whole process, because it's a lot. There's a lot of stuff to know, and that's what these people do. That's their
job. Book, I have a list of all the states where they are, their Veterans Affairs, the numbers, the information to contact them. So it's really easy to easy to connect.
And that's great too, because, you know, even just right now thinking to myself, okay, who would I call to find out what benefits I'm available for on the state level? I don't know who that person is, or that department, or, you know, whoever in my state. So having that information, you know, through your book, I think is a great way to have that as well. Before we wrap up, I want to give you the chance to let people know where they can go to get a copy of your book and, you know, anything else that might be of interest to the listeners.
Sure. Well, Veterans Benefits for You, as you pointed out, is available at Amazon, like everything. Okay. So I found that's the easiest way to deal with that. Also, if you follow me on LinkedIn, I try to post information about veterans issues. Sometimes it's FAQs around certain benefits and the like, so they can follow me. That's probably another place to learn about some of the things I'm writing and talking about.
In a startling description, the UN food chief warned the world with the words knocking on famine's door. He called what we're facing a perfect storm of a perfect storm. And he's not alone. Barron's published that a food shortage could be coming even in the US. And farmers see it too. John Boyd Jr., a fourth generation farmer, told Fox News that we're going to see empty food shelves in the coming months. That's why getting survival food is more important than ever now. Create your own stockpile of the best-selling Four Patriots survival food kits. It's not ordinary food. We're talking good for 25 years super survival food. It's hand-packed in a family-owned facility in the USA, and it gives jobs to over 200 Americans. They have different delicious breakfast, lunch, and dinner options, and you can make these meals in less than 20 minutes. Just add boiling water, simmer, and serve. And right now, for the next few days, listeners of Drive On will get 10% off their first order at 4patriots.com by using code DRIVEON. Just go to 4patriots.com and use code DRIVEON to start your stockpile today. Well, that's great. And I'll have links to both of those in the show notes so that the listeners, you can check it out there and get a copy of the book. And definitely, even if you think that you're using all the benefits that you have available, get the book, take a look through it, and see if there's anything else that you might be eligible for and stuff that maybe you just weren't even thinking about. We mentioned a bunch of stuff in this episode already, but there might be other things too that you are eligible for. You just didn't know how to access them. You didn't know who to contact, whatever the case may be. The information's in the book. So get a copy of the book. Again, the link will be in the show notes for anyone who is looking for a copy of the book. And to follow along on LinkedIn for some other tips and questions that are frequently asked that get answered. So sure. Before we wrap this up, though, I want to do a little segment I've been doing recently. It's called Is It Service Connected? And I thought it would be a perfect segment given the fact that you are the guest on this show. But for the viewers who aren't familiar with it and for yourself, Is It Service Connected is sort of like America's Funniest Home Videos, military edition. We look at a video of a service member doing something stupid. They're probably injuring themselves or something, you know, ridiculous is happening. We try to predict whether or not what happened in the video could qualify for some disability benefits somewhere down the line. And I figured who better to do this segment with than you, because of your background with, the VA and everything like that. So, let me get this video queued up here so that you can see it on your end. And here we go. All right. So for the listeners who are not watching the video portion of this, first off, you got to check out the video because it makes it so much better. Go to YouTube. We'll be posting these videos on Twitter as well, but or X, I guess it's called now. But for those people who don't have access to the video right now, it looks like there's a soldier standing on, looks like snow or ice, and it's probably not going to end up too well for him. So let's see what this looks like. Okay. Sliding across the ice. It actually worked out all right for him. And here comes another guy who is down on his back, flat on his back. On the ice, he thought he could be as cool as the other guy, I guess. And clearly, he could not. So I'm guessing that was probably, there was probably some head injury. I think I saw his head bouncing off the ice.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, head, maybe neck. you know, I got to imagine that if there was something serious enough there, that probably would qualify.
No, absolutely. I mean, that could be TBI, right? Your head smashing the hard surface.
Sure.
That could be TBI. So that absolutely qualifies. And in this example, if he was unable to get to medical help, his buddy right there in the video and before him who did it first would be the person who could demonstrate that in a buddy state.
Okay? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I think I've said this for some other videos that we've done on this show. He has it on video too. So it's clearly like there's no question about, like, he's wearing his uniform, he's carrying his rifle. You know, I think it's pretty well documented that would be service connected if that was actually an issue that cropped up, sometime down the line. So, so very good points though. And, I do want to thank you for taking the time to come on the show, and for playing along with, is it service connected? Again, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, and thank you again.
Hey, thank you, Scott.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Sun, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.